Welcome to Off Market, where every episode we discuss a topic related to the real estate world. Just want to start off by apologizing for the audio quality in this episode. Our microphone was not able to capture all the recording of the content, but we were able to actually get the audio from a video that we were recording at the same time. The only thing is that there was a lot of interference, so when you put up the volume to a certain level, it just sounds very muffled. But if you keep it lower, it does sound a little bit better. So, again, I do want to apologize for it, but this episode was a really great episode, and I am excited to post it. So we're hoping that you guys feel the same, apart from the quality of the audio. We'll make sure that for the next episode, we do not have this issue. This episode is episode 3 of our first season, and it's Real Estate in Times of COVID, where we'll have the return of Brian Joyce, as well as another guest, John Doss, who is a loan officer for FidusFi here in Orlando. We're actually very excited about this episode because it took a little bit of time to actually be able to get both people in the room at the same time and able to have this big discussion that we were able to have. And in the beginning, it was interesting because both John and Brian had different opinions on how the real estate market would go due to the pandemic. And it seemed that at the time of the recording, they were able to kind of get more on a similar footing. So that was actually very exciting to hear. Of course, this recording was from a couple of weeks ago. So things have changed very quickly here in the state of Florida, and we'll continue to see how that goes and might even make another episode based off of that. But here we go with this episode. I hope you guys enjoy. Today we have Brian Joyce, as mentioned before, CEO of Joyce Street Capital. He has been in one other podcast now. And we also have John Doss from FidusFi. Just tell us a little bit more about yourself.
Yeah, thanks for having me here. My name is John Doss, and I'm with FidusFi. We're located here in Orlando, and we're a hard money lender. So we finance investment properties throughout the state of Florida, and we also lend through most of the Southeast, the Midwest, and major markets. And we specialize in investor financing for purchases on rehabs for either fix and flips. We also have long-term financing on rentals, and we can cover multifamily, some small commercial. We do quite a bit. So just about any real estate investing, we have financing options for that I'll elaborate on more.
Hi, excellent. So this is gonna be a little bit of an interesting one. I know we had a little bit of discussions before the podcast and everything. We're going to come in from two different perspectives. So obviously on John's side, you do more on the loan side, so things are going to be a little bit different than what Brian's used to, which is more of the real estate investing, some wholesale, and then now we're also doing a little bit of flipping. So things will be a little bit different, but at the same time, we still have a lot of things that we'll notice that are pretty much the same things that we're going to see, you know, across the whole board. To get started off, let's go back all the way till the end of March, right? For me, it started St. Patrick's Day. That was the last time I actually worked in the office. That's when life changed for me. But I know for both of you, it was right towards that same week, right around the end, was where all the chaos was going on. It was basically what I called it at the time, Corona Mania. And I kept doing the whole Hulk Hogan voice and going crazy in the office. And, you know, everything was all negative. Nobody knew what was going on. So tell everybody about kind of how that experience was for each one of you and, you know, kind of like what the mentality was going into starting that week.
Yeah, so it was kind of sudden, right? I mean, coming into St. Patrick's Day, one of my favorite holidays. I'm an Irishman, so so kind of coming into that holiday, and then, you know, really it was like afternoon of St. Patrick's Day. They're like, everything's closed. Nobody can go out to the bars. You can't go out to restaurants tonight. So that's when we had heard a lot about it on the news, especially coming out of New York and some of the gigantic cities and California especially. But it was when it kind of hit home here in Florida, right? Where they said, you can't go out tonight, you can't go to the bars, restaurants, or whatever. So then it definitely became real, okay, COVID is here, we're going into a quarantine, like this is now real life. But at that point in time, it was really just a shock in terms of like a healthcare crisis, right? It was more about not getting the virus, not spreading the virus, and we have no idea how long this is gonna last, how and if it's gonna affect our business. Obviously, initially, you're thinking this is going to affect every business in every corner. And kind of the first thing you do is go into damage control, assume, right, plan for the worst. We hope for the best, of course. So that, for me, in that week, St. Patrick's Day, it all kind of started, but really it was towards maybe like the next week. So like the last couple weeks of March, where we really started to see not only, you know, what we needed to do to change, to kind of adjust and make sure that we were going to be safe, not only health-wise, but business-wise throughout the quarantine. And then also how other businesses were starting to shut down as well. So you started to kind of see both of those and really start to feel them, not only in-house, like the decisions, like I said, we were making, but also the ones that other people were making, like John, like regular lenders, like realtors showing houses and stuff like that. So it was chaotic at first, but not necessarily in a freak out business sense. It was more of like, none of us, you know, have been through this before. We haven't gone through a nationwide shutdown and quarantine. So that's really when, you know, that Tuesday, St. Patrick's Day, is like, oh my God, this is actually happening. And then you start to see, on my end at least, the changes started already hitting within 10 days, really. So March 25th-ish, it was kind of night and day from 2 weeks prior kind of thing. And so at first, you know, that's kind of how it was, I guess, not to get too far ahead, but the mindset was just massive uncertainty. No idea how long it's going to last, what it's going to affect, if everything's going to go to hell. You start to see the stock market start to slip a little bit. It took a couple weeks for it to really get down in the dumps, but that first kind of initial reaction was, this is real, here we go, and then started to brainstorm and think about what we could do to make it through it.
You were still positive throughout most of it, so, you know, from the whole time you were just waiting for the thing to kind of go back. You're like, no, we can get through this, That was kind of like the whole mindset. And for you, John, were things the same? Like, were you just kind of a little bit confused as to what was going on, or were you just kind of like, all right, let's see how this goes out, what's going to happen?
Yeah, we were on a manage it day-by-day scenario. So for me, the same thing. I definitely remember St. Patrick's Day. I do a lot of things kind of like this, where it's networking and small groups here with investors locally. And I actually was scheduled to be a main speaker for an event that we do monthly for an investor club that night. So a couple days before is when we had officially decided to put that on hold. And you know, March Madness being canceled was a big deal to me. You know, going out on St. Patrick's Day, like Brian, it's funny how the most frustrating things right away were all the social aspects. But yeah, it's been a lot different. Normally I'd have at least one event a week. That, you know, for the past 2+ months, you know, we've done a few things like this digitally, so webinars and having a podcast, and there's great ways to stay in communication with people, but there's been a lot of adjustments in the way things are operated. So for us, from a lender standpoint, obviously we had loans that we were working on. So for us, anything that was in processing, meaning we were in communication with title and had deals under contract, luckily we were able to close everything. We had the funds to close everything that ended up closing. There were some deals that didn't close for other reasons besides funding. But we were lucky in that aspect, and we definitely had people come to us where unfortunately their financing fell through sometimes the day of closing or even later than that. I even heard of a story of somebody having a wire requested back from title after the documents were signed. So it's really unfortunate some of the scenarios that people had to go through. You know, not just the buyers losing out on deals, obviously the sellers. You know, there's a lot of people involved in transactions that don't close. So we've been in a fortunate position to be able to provide our financing for people. But it has been a kind of daily and weekly update as to what we can do. And we're just been telling everybody things are case by case. So we've had to make some adjustments and deal with things as they come through.
And so at that time, were you just thinking that things were just going to like continue being really bad leading on to the time? Because you know, at the time, everyone was, you know, was going on through this mayhem where it was just like everything's going to go bad. You know, the stocks were crashing, businesses were going down, and you know, people were losing jobs. So now the whole question is what's going to go on. And right. A lot of people really did have a really negative mindset towards it, and some other people were just more like waited out. What were you thinking at that time in terms of how everything was going to go?
Yeah, things are definitely scary. It's an unprecedented scenario. I wasn't lending or in real estate back in 2008, so I didn't really have anything similar to compare it to. I know for the past year or so, though, myself, a lot of the people I'm close to, and our principals at our company I've been anticipating that there might be a real estate decline, just in going back through history and comparing the way values and interest rates and our economy is doing now compared to other real estate declines. There were some signs pointing to that. So my initial response was that it was definitely going to be something that would accelerate what we thought might have happened anyway. And that has been the mindset for a while. It's been nice to not have seen some of the negative things happen as soon as we thought they might, and see some positive. I always prefer to see glasses half full, but be prepared for the worst. So we've seen some indicators that things could be okay, but there's also the potential that some values and just in general the economy could still take a decline.
Yeah, I'm thinking in such way for that too, because I wanted to think about the 2008 crisis and everything. You know, we were thinking about recessions and things like that, and it was always kind of scary, but we did kind of take a look, and it was two different things. I guess the economy was going down, but for 2008, it was something that we kind of like were doing bad practices, didn't really, you know, some people didn't see it coming, they weren't paying attention. The economy crashed, we couldn't really cover it. This time it was more of, you know, the uncertainty was getting everybody. So we were more kind of like scaring ourselves out of doing things and, you know, taking our money back, not wanting to take that risk just because we never knew exactly what was going to happen. But at the same time, it wasn't like anything before that was leading in a downward trend. We were still going up. It just happened that this happened and then it started going down. But right now, it kind of seems almost like it's rebounding a bit, where people are getting a little bit more comfortable, you know, we're starting to do things. So for both of you, have you seen anything different now in these last couple of weeks, let's say 2-3 weeks, where things have, you know, been opening up a little bit more and people are starting to get more comfortable?
Yes, for sure. We came out, I guess, here in Orange County, Central Florida, came out of a mandated stay-at-home order, so to speak, and started going to restaurants and stuff, 2 or 3 weeks ago. The first week went to lunch, and the restaurant was empty. Kind of expected, right? But I went to lunch yesterday, and the restaurant was full. Not necessarily 100% with the rules that they have to abide by now, but as full as it can be for being open at what they have to be. So I think what the point you're making is very accurate in the sense that it really is a psychology game at this point, and it has been the whole time. And I think I've definitely seen positive, more comfortable and confident psychology coming out in social aspects and in business as well. You know, when people feel good, safe, healthy, they want to go spend money. They want to interact with the economy, create economy and GDP. So it seems like that's happening again, especially here in Central Florida. I know it's different everywhere else, and it depends where you are in the nation, but yeah, multiple things, business end, whether it's, you know, more sellers reaching out, more people replying to things, more buyers coming back to the table, whether they're looking for investments or end users, kind of coming back to the table, and then just, yeah, people being out in the world again. So definitely seems like the psychology has shifted for now. I want to emphasize for now, because like John said, it was day by day then. It's kind of still day by day now, even though maybe it's every couple of days we kind of reconsider how things are. But it could change like that. And that's, I think, the thought in the back of our mind and everybody's mind that we're fighting through, but it's still there nonetheless.
And John, have you seen anything different going on, maybe like in terms of like the loans people are going for? Are the property prices still the same for when people are asking for an asking price? Have you seen anything different, or has it still been very steady and just kind of moving on?
Yeah, I definitely feel, like Brian said, that there's been an increase in people wanting to get into more deals recently. I think it's definitely correlated to phase one, phase two of reopenings, as people feel more comfortable to get back in their everyday routines, go back to work, keep that economy running smoothly. They're going to be going back to what they're used to doing. So we definitely have seen an increase in applications, deals under contract, you know, more of a pipeline of things going forward. So that's definitely a good sign. Going back a little bit, so the loans that we had already funded, so people have been obviously working on some rehabs leading up to this. All the loans that we had that had paid off in the past 2 months that we're aware of didn't have any issues with getting the pricing they wanted. We even had quite a few listings that were under contract and sold within 30 days, which is remarkable for even a good economy. There were definitely some issues where people had multiple buyers, so their financing might have fallen through because the buyer's lender wasn't able to keep them approved, whether or not it had to do with changing guidelines, income of the buyer changing. Didn't see a lot of valuations being an issue. Appraisals were actually much busier, especially in March and April, because the rates were so low, people were wanting to refinance existing loans, plus new requests. So we hadn't seen values change at all. And I think that's something that if it does happen, that's always going to be take longer to take effect, as they have to go off of recent sales. So that's not going to be something that you'll just see an immediate drop on. That would be a little bit more gradual. But yes, we have seen an increase in activity recently. And even though some financing guidelines have changed, we're still open and able to finance some new deals. So looking forward to that.
And I think what's going on too is that with this being like a thing, you know, people consider a crisis or anything, I kind of look at it as, yes, you know, it's a bad thing going on, but during these kind of times is where there's a lot of opportunity, and there's a lot of time, you know, chance for people to innovate or adapt to the current situation, what's going on. And I believe that we can still, I'm in that kind of that middle zone where, you know, I believe that, you know, there's things going on that maybe we should be careful, but at the same time, if we can find ways to still do business, you know, in a safe way, we can still continue to grow. And it doesn't have to be exactly negative where it's like, oh, we can't go out or anything like that. But at the same time, you're still going to find ways to maybe do things that are, you know, result in less contact, but at the same time, you're still doing the same transactions. It gets opportunity for, you know, I think entrepreneurs as well to start building new platforms, start building more jobs and things like that, where before everyone was thinking, no, it's not a possibility. Now it's more like, all right, take this opportunity, the time that you have, to kind of come up with more ideas and continue to grow. And I think there's some things that we've even been seeing lately working out that way, where I think you and Brian, we talked about this before, where we wanted to have the actual sellers take photos of their own properties so we wouldn't have to go to that property. We can incentivize that, tell them, hey, we'll give you, you know, X amount of dollars to take photos of your own property, and that way we don't have to do it, risk anything, and at the same time, we still get these transactions going through. So those are the kind of things to look at, and, you know, looking at that way, I don't know if you've seen it that way, but yeah, there's slight little changes going on, but I feel like there will be a little bit more positive.
Yeah, so I mean, buying over the phone's gotten easier, right? Because some people still did want to put their house under contract or sell their house during the whole quarantine. Like you said, how are you going to do that if, you know, the old traditional way was I come to your house, I look at it, I walk through, I shake your hand, right? So buying over the phone, getting photos from people definitely got easier. At least the openness to that idea became a lot easier to get them to agree to, be open to, whatever you want to call it. Whereas before, a lot of people, you'd hear, you know, no, I need you to come to my house. I'm old school, you're coming to my house, I need to shake your hand, right? Didn't hear that too often during quarantine. So it made that whole process a little bit easier, which was nice. It definitely was a mixed bag, though, because you had some people that were open to stuff like that, but then others that were just simply like, I'm going to wait. You know, we're not going to do this. We think in 45 to 60 days. You guys as a buyer, you as an investor, won't try to beat me down as bad about the price on the house, and or I know you're gonna have to come to this house at least one time before you purchase it, so I'm just gonna hold off. There's no need to have the conversation right now. So it was a mixed bag for sure. Made some things easier and some things harder.
And the other thing too, so coming back to that as well, do you guys think that maybe there was the initial phase of the craziness was a little bit of an over-exaggeration? I mean, I find it as a kind of better to be safe than sorry kind of deal, where it was like, we don't know what we're dealing with, so it's better to prevent than, you know, having to go out there and take risks that we shouldn't have been taking. And yeah, we think that maybe that was probably the possibility was going on. That's what led to basically the kind of, you know, craziness that we're going through initially when we were going through everything that was going on.
Yeah, it's hard to say. I mean, the speed at which things progress, and, you know, not understanding and having a set plan, I feel like that was probably the only option that we had, was to just kind of say, let's shut this down and figure things out. I'm sure that hopefully we'll have better plans in place in the future, whether it's either coronavirus that comes back or, you know, something else down the road. There's always ways to do things more efficiently, which is a benefit of having to go through something like this, is You do get things where you develop new ways of doing stuff. Technology's always been something that's been improving, and there's been some things that have been in the works or developed before this. You know, Zoom was around before March, but you see
the most popular thing around.
You know, you see things that just kind of their success might be accelerated by something like this. So if you're a business where you're a wholesaler or a lender or an investor, and you look for new ways to make your business more efficient, that is a positive that comes out of this, whether it was a new technology developed or just a new way of figuring out how to use what was already there. And we've seen that in a few ways. You know, we're looking at, for instance, title companies in the state of Florida. The bill was passed that this year. They can allow for notaries to sign documents electronically and virtually, so they don't have to actually be at a table like this signing face to face. And that's something that is hopefully being pushed through faster. So now you can get more efficient closings, also safer scenarios, so people can sign after hours in various locations and speed up the process that way. You know, I've personally, you know, our company has always been trying to look to develop technology and use it in a way that's efficient for everybody. So before this, we'd already been working on ways to improve our website and application process. And we're very close to, we've kind of got beta mode where we're internally, we're using a system that allows for checklists and communication to be a lot smoother between ourselves and our third-party vendors. And pretty soon that will be available for our borrowers. So it'll all be streamlined where everybody can see exactly where the process is at, what items are needed, what stages they're in, and just streamline that. So that was something we were already working on, and again, is just being accelerated and needed in a scenario like we're in now. You know, from wholesaler side, you know, I know there's technologies out there that are having to eliminate the door knocking, the face-to-face, you know, bandit signs, even phone calls, just trying to make those things more efficient to provide more information. So it's definitely, you see good things come out of bad scenarios all the time, and I think this is definitely one of those things where you know, people can look for the positives and look for ways to improve their businesses either directly or through all the third-party vendors that they're using to get their deals done.
Kind of just to touch on the whole like reaction thing. The way I've been thinking about it lately is, you know, why do you lock your door at night before you go to bed, right? I've never had anybody breaking into my house while I was there sleeping at night, but every night I make sure my door is locked, right? This was just kind of a situation where you get to a certain point sometimes, and really the government was the person saying, okay, we gotta lock our door right now. You just better be safe than sorry, right? We had the first case show up in the world, right? Maybe it was a little before, but mid-December, really, in China, right? Thousands and thousands of miles away, and within 90 days, we were shutting down our entire country. So it just got to a point where no one has a clue, you know, how many people can actually, unfortunately, pass from this or not. How many people can this actually affect in a short time period? It was just to simply lock your door at night, right? So it's kind of just like, okay, be safe. We'll take a breather, and we'll come back in as we need to when we know more information about it specifically. So no, I don't think it was necessarily an overreaction. I think, you know, how we come back into normal economy, normal activity and stuff like that, there'd be arguments for both sides that we're going too fast or too slow. But in reality, yeah, it's always better to be safe than sorry, right? It is, and you know, I don't want to quote it, but I think it is the most deadly virus now since the Spanish flu kind of thing. So, right, that if we didn't do a lockdown, what would that have looked like? And it's just impossible to answer that question. It's not a question anybody wants to answer, right? Especially our healthcare system, our government, that's responsible for the well-being of the people, right? So at the end of the day, like John said, I mean, we got a lot done. You know, not only us at Joyce Reade, but a lot of businesses, unfortunately, restaurants, hotels, you know, Disney parks, blah, blah, blah. Not a whole lot you can do there when it's all based around people sharing rides, sharing tables, sharing cups, right? Stuff like that. But a lot of other businesses leaned on a lot of new tech, a lot of tech that was already there that we just didn't know we could use to navigate a problem like this. So I don't think it was necessarily an overreaction, in my opinion, because we probably did, and we watched it, right? We watched the data come in to bend that curve and to stop the amount of infections that were coming each day. but not to the point where people couldn't do, you know, telework or virtual work, virtual meetings, whatever it was, or just distance when you have to go do something physical. So I think, you know, we saw a huge contraction for a short period of time, and we just don't ever want to answer the question, or we never want to live out the scenario where we say we didn't do it, and here's what happened.
So yeah, there's some interesting things that I was also taking a look at as well, whereas before a lot of people were having, like, people do business and would have traveling into different areas. They're like, well, yeah, like we mentioned Zoom before, so just have a Zoom meeting, and now no matter where in the world you are, you can still have that same conversation, same communication. And now in the future, I think people are just going to start looking at, well, we can save all this money instead of sending people over here, pay for their hotels, their flights, and everything like that. You know, we can still have them live at their home, do the Zoom meeting, save a ton of money, and still continue to do business. So, and like I mentioned before, that's just going to raise a lot more opportunity. And I think the thing right now is the more we educate ourselves on the situation, on coronavirus, on what's going to go on, I think the more we can do that and still continue doing our day-to-day, you know, we'll continue to see growth. And adding on to that as well, I mentioned just one last thing, that this is like basically moving on to the future. This might continue to be the new norm, but we don't know this yet. It could be, it could not, but at least for the time being, you know, this might be the way life will be for a while. So we might as well get used to it, adapt to it, and continue to do our things to continue to grow and just continue to have business going around. I think that might actually lead on to some great things in the future as well. And yeah, I've seen that actually. It's cool because I think maybe a month ago, if we would have had the same conversation, the same podcast, it would have been completely different. I think, you know, the opinions would have been a lot more negative, or maybe one person leans on one side or another, but now I see that there's common ground going on between both of you, and seeing how things are, I'm assuming everywhere else in the real estate, you know, realm, people are kind of getting into a common ground and seeing how things are going. Anything else you guys would want to add on to the conversation? Or I think we pretty much touched on every single aspect that we were thinking about.
I guess one more thing to add is one thing I was really surprised about was to see in April that real estate prices in Central Florida actually went up by 1%, not down. You had a huge reduction in the amount of inventory that was available in April, which definitely helped the prices go up. But you would have also thought, you know, demand was nothing. You would have said demand was nothing in April, right? Because that was when we were fully quarantined, basically, for that entire 30-day period. So for me to see prices go up, sales, you know, amount of sales, number of sales go down dramatically, but the price still go up was pretty surprising to me. So that was pretty interesting. And another interesting data point that we have now, we're kind of still working through it to see how it lands, is months of inventory available. Summer, as everybody knows, is one of the hottest times to sell a market, sell a property on the market. You know, investments are year round, but a lot of people use the summer to get out of their home, get into a new home, kids aren't in school, whatever it might be. So we're gonna have, and this is unseen for sure, but we're starting to see some data that we might have an oversupply of inventory. However, then you see other data points on the flip side of mortgage applications are up 9% in May, you know, year over year. So it's really, there's no way to know, because it looks like we might have an inventory influx, but we might have extreme buyer activity as well. I think one other thing that was initially debatable, and I know you and I debated this a lot, was the types of jobs that were being lost. Unfortunately, when this all occurred, you cut the easiest positions, the ones that are not necessarily essential for your business to run. So what we were kind of talking about was, were those people buying houses? You know, there's some jobs out there that just the income's too low, and it's just that person was never a buyer in the normal real estate market at a certain point. So I think that was kind of interesting to see how it plays out, and it's still we'll find out, is are those kind of people that were the first to go, and it is unfortunate, but it is what it is in business, will that have an extreme effect on the real estate market or not? Unemployment's obviously at record levels, you know, historical records. So I think it's going to be interesting to see how much of those people are coming out of the buyer's pool for real estate, for new homes or existing homes or whatever it might be. And then on the second hand is how quickly they come back into it if they were removed from the buyer's pool. So how quickly we get back up to normal activity, you know, economically speaking, and if that has a lasting or a dramatic effect or really any effect on the real estate market at all. So that's kind of something that I'm still looking at and considering is, were the people that lost their jobs significant to the real estate market? And if they were, how does the process of them coming back into the market look?
Yeah, I was, in my perspective, I was thinking of renters in this case too, because a lot of those people that might have lost their jobs might have been renting. Of course, there were a lot of things where, you know, we've had a hold actually kicking people out of their homes if they didn't have the money to pay for it. So in the next coming months, seeing how things recover and if people get jobs or if that money's still being owed, seeing what will actually happen with that. I know too, at the same time though, personal experience and things that I've seen, though, a lot of people have been able to get unemployment benefits as well. So there's still probably money moving around, but it'll be interesting to see, will they pay off, you know, all the money that they owe, how many evictions will be going on in the next couple of months, if things are gonna continue going the same way, will jobs, you know, now that the parks are gonna start opening up and everything like that, are people gonna go back into work, and how that's gonna have a whole effect. So there's still a lot of things to take a look at that I think are gonna be very interesting in the next couple of months. And we'll just have to keep looking, hopefully in the, you know, towards the end of the year, maybe we can have the same conversation again and kind of see how that goes.
I did hear about a scenario where a landlord owned a 32-unit building and all the tenants got together and said, we're not going to pay rent during COVID. I don't know the outcome of that now, but there are, of course, situations where they're going to have to weigh the risk of trying to get new tenants at a time like this when, like you said, you can't evict right now. And hopefully they're able to work out either deferring some payments, modified payments, and allow those tenants to stay for as long as needed to catch up on that. But for the most part, it seems to be something that is just going to be a month or two of either slow pays or late payments or partial payments, and should recover pretty quickly. I haven't heard of too many issues with finding new tenants, so there's still plenty of people that want to rent and need to move into places. And that's going to be something that down the road, there's always going to be need for affordable housing. In Central Florida, you're looking at resale prices between $100,000 to $300,000 that either people are going to want to buy and move into the property, or you have investors that are going to want to rent those out to tenants and positively cash flow. And even in down markets, you're still going to have rent that's going to hold up. You're not going to see a big drop in rent just because property values might go down. So we still don't know what property values are going to do as people get back to work, and we really see what the unemployment number is. I think a lot of the furloughs have overinflated that. We don't know until companies are back up on their feet and running what restaurant capacities are going to look like, all the entertainment industries that have been affected, what the real unemployment is going to be. But there's definitely still going to be need for affordable housing, either for investors or people to live in. And I think that's a really good approach right now. Something we've always been focused on, and even more so, is how well will a property cash flow as a rental, even if the goal is to just fix it up and sell it. You never know when you'll run into those kinds of issues. So we really look at refinanceability for our investors, at products that we offer, what they can get on their own, and make sure that in a worst case scenario, they're at least able to collect some rent and hopefully cover loan payments, if not make some money on top of that.
So I think pretty much, there's still gonna be, like I said, there's opportunities. I think there's gonna be some negatives, but I think with all these, we're probably not looking for positives. We just kind of look towards a different perspective and kind of see the things that are coming out of it. Like I said, there's still a little bit more of uncertainty, but at the end of the day, I still do think that things are actually going to be
well. Well, the thing to keep in mind through all this is history repeats itself. There's always been pandemics. There's always been, you know, ups and downs in real estate. But there's always been ways to make money in those scenarios. Real estate's always gonna be around. You're always gonna need housing. There's always gonna be ways to make money in doing it. So we just have to take things like this and figure out, like we said before, ways to make our jobs more efficient. How can we benefit from this? There might be a little bit of delay, and you know, the wait and see aspect hopefully isn't gonna be around much longer. It has been really frustrating. It's kind of a pull your hair out scenario to sit there and just be dependent on so many other factors before you can get back to your business running at full capacity. And hopefully we're getting close to that point. But you know, a pandemic like this is not unseen before, which means it'll happen again. We just have to make the adjustments to the way our world is now. Before, they were so localized, you never had people that could spread something globally as quickly as you can now. So there's goods and bads with our advances in technology, and we have to look for ways to focus on how to make that useful for us. And hopefully we'll be prepared better for the next one, both health-wise and also for our businesses.
Yeah, it's definitely a learning curve in terms of everything, not just business, it's your overall life, you know, how you look at the world and how everything goes, you know. I think that we can actually learn from this, and now the next time, maybe, you know, hopefully it doesn't happen, but next time something like this occurs, we'll know. You know, we'll be like, okay, this is what we're going to do. The first couple weeks are going to be a little bit intense. We already know what we're going to do. We already have some precautions in place, like a little backup plan in case something like that would happen, and then we can implement that and make sure that, you know, the hit isn't as bad as it was this time. We can just continue living our lives as normal. So at least with that being said, you know, we did get something out of this, and it wasn't just all doom and gloom like we thought it was going to be.
Yeah, exactly.
So,
I guess thank you very much for this podcast. It was a very fun, actually, experience to kind of discuss these things. Definitely opened my mind a little bit. So, you know, hopefully everybody else kind of gets that same thing when they listen to it and kind of all, you know, get, you know, fresh idea off of everything.
If you made it to this part of the recording, I just want to say again, thank you very much for tuning in to Off Market. I also want to apologize again for the audio quality. I really wish it didn't happen, especially on this episode that I was really excited for, but I still was able to at least produce some audio, and I'm hoping that you guys enjoyed it as well. And with everything going on, I do want to say things probably will change in the next couple of weeks, just seeing how everything is going. Still hoping for more positive things. And I'm excited to see what our next episode will bring us to. And hopefully maybe in the future we'll have an update of what happened in this episode. So it'll be a real estate in times of COVID part two, maybe. But so yeah, once we get our bearings going and I can find another topic, we'll be back. Thanks again for tuning in to Off Market.